This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is BFM 89.9. It is that time of night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Madeline Jung.
I'm David Bury.
And in the studio this evening, with it being Monday, of course, and we all want to get rid of those Monday blues, we have our regular comedy spot. And joining us tonight is Andrew Netto.
What's up, guys?
Adeline has two bells tonight, David.
Yes. Nice.
Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Two different tones of bells as well.
It sounds a bit musical.
It does, but it's going to get really annoying.
It's like going into a shop. Uh-huh. You know?
Ding, ding.
How can I help you, sir? Yes. What would you like this evening?
And then coming back out.
Do it again.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you for coming. Oh, please.
But be rest assured that she'll walk around with you, following you around the shop if you need any assistance.
I hate that.
How can I help you, sir?
They're like your shadow,
yes,
right?
Yes, they are.
Annoying shadow.
As usual, we have a giveaway this evening. We are giving away Domino's pizza vouchers because we are full-on rock stars like that, right?
Yes.
How many do we have tonight?
Well, we're giving away five vouchers, personal pizza vouchers. So all you have to do is just answer this question. According to their website, Domino's have added two new types of crust. What are they called? So send your name, IC number to 016-201-9000. There's one bell.
There you go. There's
and two. Don't forget to tell us why you deserve to win as well.
Have you seen these new crusts?
I have not, but I'm now very excited.
They are very appealing.
Are they cheesy?
Yes. There is also additional unhealthy goodness.
Oh.
Like what?
I can't say, because then we'll give away the answer, of course.
Like fried chicken?
No.
Is it a fried chicken crust?
It's not the fried chicken
crust.
I wish we
have fried chicken crust.
You're getting a bit carried
away.
How about
if they wrap the bread part with just chicken skin?
Or maybe bacon. Maybe you can wrap it with bacon.
You do realize you're becoming obsessed now, right?
Yeah.
The two of you, we had this very similar discussion last week. If you want to get in touch via Twitter, this is what you do.
You can tweet us at BFMTTON or BFM Radio.
Okay, so we have Andrew Netto, of course. So we're going to ask you a bunch of questions a little bit later on related to Smarty Pants and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But we'll get straight into the interview. And I want to know, you're working with the LOL guys, right?
Yes.
How's that all going? I mean, this is the thing. Every Monday, we have comedians here. Mm-hmm. And they seems to be like forming this little fraternity.
Yes.
Or like brotherhood of comics,
yes.
Right? Are you involved in all of that as well?
I try as much as I can.
Right.
But their meetings usually are on the weekends. They always meet up on the weekend, hang out at the crack house,
right,
which is really hard for me because I like to party.
Right.
And
are you saying those guys don't?
Yeah, they don't. No. None of them actually do party. They all
really?
Look at me and go like, bro, you got a partying problem, bro.
But after the show at crack house, they would actually turn that place into a party place.
Yeah, they would. They would just all hang out, you know, and compare jokes. It's actually a lot of fun to actually do hang out with them, but I don't do it as often. I should, actually.
You probably should. Who do you think's the funniest out of the bunch of them? I'm going to put you right
on
the
screen. Wow.
Yeah. Because I know they'll probably be listening. So.
Yeah. For me, I mean, the comics who perform, they're very talented. But in terms of experience, Rizal Van Gezel, he's a guy who never fails to impress me.
Okay.
Every time I perform with him, he's a no-holds-barred comedian. He doesn't really care. I am the kind of guy that actually, I would tread along the line and wait for everybody to go, ooh.
And then see and then
and
test
then see the
waters.
Reaction. Rizal wouldn't. Rizal would just go straight into it. And then and people would be like, oh my goodness, I can't say anything. I don't care. What do you think? He's that kind of guy. So it's fun.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I mean, how competitive is it amongst you guys? I mean, because there's got to be a level of competition to kind of up your game, right?
It is competitive, mostly in the corporate events sector, because most of us make most of our money in the corporate event side.
Right.
So when we host gigs or when we perform stand-up at gigs, public gigs itself in Malaysia pay enough money to pay a couple of bills. They don't pay all the bills. So with corporate events, yeah, we always, every time there's a new event, they pitch all of the same people. And then they tell you, you're going up, Andrew, you're going up against Kevin, you're going up against Rizal, you're going up against John Atherton, you're going up. And I was like, I'm going up against all my friends.
It must feel like a lineup.
Yeah, it is.
So what?
Actually, I was thinking about this whole corporate event thing. Mm-hmm. And since it's not public and your friends aren't around, do you steal their jokes by any chance?
No. I will not lie. I got caught out once using someone else's material.
No.
Who did you use?
I used Harit's material.
Audience spotted it?
Somebody in the audience spotted it, wrote a letter to my management and said this joke was from Harit Iskandar. And Harit actually called me and he wasn't angry. He was just really disappointed. It was like my dad.
Which is worse.
Worse. My father does this to me all the time. He says, son, I'm not angry. I'm very disappointed. And then like hits you in the heart, bro.
And then they look down. And then they walk away. And you're like,
And Harith was, and I called him and I apologized. And I said, no, what? This is a rookie mistake. I shouldn't have done it. Mm-hmm. And I did it once and that was it. That was the first and last time that I was like, nope, never use it again.
But were you out of material? That's why you used this joke or what?
I had used this joke for a while, but it was very similar to Harith's joke. But actually, to be honest, it was almost the same joke. And the premise of the joke came from Harith.
Right. But imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, right?
Yeah.
Right.
But still, it's a competition. You know, even though these are your friends, you're competitive, right. You know, you can't just steal people's jokes. Have you ever caught anyone for stealing your... Oh.
Yes, I have.
Would you like to name and shame right now?
No. I wouldn't do that. But I've actually had comics use my material before I actually went on stage. So they went on before me and I'm like, bro, that's my opening joke, bro. This is a bit tough. Then they're going to look at me and go like, oh, what, all Indians have the same joke, so I don't
know. How would they know your joke? I mean, before the show starts, did you talk to them?
No, I've done the joke before and they've probably heard it. So some of the newer comics, I mean, not the more experienced ones, but the newer ones have done it before and it's a bit weird when you hear it. And then like, sometimes like when they come off, they're like, bro, how's my set? And I'm like, ah, bro, you just used a bit of my material from the first part. And they were like, oh, man, I'm really sorry. And then they don't repeat the mistake, so which is good.
But, I mean, how much of that is kind of an honest mistake? They've heard something, they thought it funny, they've forgotten about it.
Yes.
And then they've kind of, you know...
It actually is an honest mistake. Like the incident with me and Harith, it was an honest mistake. I did not mean to steal the material. But joke theft is something that's rampant worldwide with comics. Russell Peters got accused of joke theft a few months ago when he accused Trevor Noah of being a joke theft. A thief. Right. So there was a bit of a banter there, you know, because they all started saying that they were all stealing jokes from each other.
Right. Okay, we're going to take a very short break. We'll be right back after these messages. We've got some Black Keys coming up. You're listening to That Time of Night here on BFM 89.9, The Business Station. BFM 89.9, The Business Station. It is That Time of Night. That was The Black Keys with Sister. So we've been on air, what, 20 minutes, and we've not mentioned what we got up to over the weekend. And it's Monday. We normally start off with that.
Yeah.
All right, and we had a long weekend as well.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I'm not going to ask you because you're going to say you were working right
now. Correct.
There we go.
Forever. It's either studying or working.
Right. Yeah. But, oh, you sound so down, mate. What's wrong?
I was just working the whole time. It's kind of tiring, you know.
You've had a hectic day as well, I know, today, right?
Yeah.
You've lost your keys, right?
Yeah.
He has been sulking the entire
day. The whole day.
It's not sulking. It's just like I'm really pissed at myself because I'm not a guy who loses things.
Uh-uh.
Right. So when I was leaving the house and I couldn't find my car keys, that just really got to me because I just came back from my house at like 10:30 at night the day before.
Mm.
So where could it have gone in like a matter of 6 hours?
It's behind the fridge or in the sock drawer?
I don't have a sock drawer.
Or maybe on a sofa. You never know.
What do you reckon?
It's probably somewhere you least expect it to be, bro. Somewhere you should keep it.
Yeah.
You
just gotta clean your house, make sure everything is in proper place.
Ding ding. Right. Anyway, so we have a guest. Enough about David's sob story. I'm sorry, mate. You'll find it.
Wait a minute. How about your guys' weekend?
No. We just wanted to talk about you losing your keys.
All right. Fine. I'm going to change the topic right now. Andrew. Honestly, what do you think of Jason Leong?
Dr. Jason Leong. When he first started, he came up to me and he goes like, Andrew, I really want to pursue stand-up comedy. I want to be like you. I really want to do stand-up comedy. He told me this. I remember, you know, it's like, you know, you guys are well-known. You, Rizal, Kavin, all well-known. I want to be like that. And I'm planning on giving up medicine. And I was like, dude, don't. Don't ever give up medicine.
That's why I'm so surprised.
To become
why did he
a
give
doctor.
Up, yeah, why did he give up
I said, you know,
doctor?
I said, anybody can go and crack jokes. Not everybody can do surgery. I said, I can't even put a plaster without messing it up. I said, don't give it up. And then one day he just came up to me. He's like, bro, I know I'm supposed to listen to you, but I know I quit. I've given up on medicine. I'm going to be a stand-up comedian full-time. So
That's so he can make all those doctor jokes.
Yeah, I think so. I'm
sorry. That's why I'm not a stand-up comedian. But how did you get involved in comedy? What was your kind of... Why did you start?
I started at the age of 19, actually. When I was growing up in school, especially in secondary school, I was the witty guy in class. I was the class clown slash class idiot.
Right.
And I would do anything for a good laugh. I would do anything for a good laugh with my friends. And after I finished school and I went to Help, where I studied with Adeline.
Yes.
And
it's so weird. Everybody knows everybody else, right?
So Adeline, college mates, we've known each other for the last 10 years. And I used to host all of the events in Help because I was the loudmouth.
Prom nights and all.
Prom nights and everything. I used to host all of the events. And then I got into comedy because of a cousin of mine, Kavin, who actually performed stand-up comedy as well. And he actually lost his brother at the age of 29. The brother passed away at the age of 29. And he said, Andrew, there's a few things I want to do before I die. And one of it is stand-up comedy. Will you try it with me? So I said, yeah, why not? We had a show. I did a bit of stand-up. It went well. And then we got invited to do an open mic night. And at that open mic night, Harith was there. So Harith had watched the show and he said, bro, you've got some talent. Why don't you come and open for one of my shows? And I was like, yeah, sure. I said, why not? And he didn't call. And 3 weeks later, he actually picks up the phone and calls me and goes like, bro, this is Harith Iskandar. And I'm like, yes. And I'm Barney the Purple Dinosaur. And he goes, no, no, this is Harith. And I was like, oh, wait, this is Harith. And now we started talking. He's like, yeah, so come and open for my show. So I had five nights with him. And did really well, and the rest is history. I just
brilliant
built a career from that.
So we have a little bit of research of you, and it says that you actually opened for Russell Peters.
Yes,
back I was there.
How was that?
Back in 2012, yes. Russell was actually the first stand-up comedian I've ever watched in my life. In 2004,
really?
Yeah, in 2005, he was the first stand-up comedian. 2004, 2005, my dad brought home his DVD, and my dad brought home this DVD and said, "Son, you've got to watch this guy. He's a stand-up comedian." I'm like, what is that? And then he shows me this DVD and I'm looking at it and going like, oh, Indian guy. Telling funny stories on stage.
I can do that.
Makes a lot of money. Can sleep until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I can do that too. And that's, yeah, he was the first stand-up comic I watched. When I was given the opportunity by the boys at LOL Events to actually open for him in 2012, it was surreal. It was an unimaginable experience because I walked out on stage and then you could only see like maybe 1,000+ people at the left of the stage and you go like, ah, this is a walk in the park. And then you turn the corner of the stage and you see 8,000 people sitting there and all of them have the same look on their face.
You this better make me
boy
laugh.
Better make the Malaysian men proud, make the Malaysian crowd proud, right? It was a good 10, I only did like 10 minutes, but it was a really good solid 10 minutes and that was a real career booster for me.
I bet.
Yeah, people really started to recognize me more after that event.
Right, we have to have time. News from page 2.
Extra, be all about.
What's all the shouting?
David.
Yeah.
What have you got?
All right, so you all know about Google's self-driving cars?
Yes.
We all do.
Yeah, so it's been happening since 2009, right? Uh-huh. They just released the amount of accidents that they've had over the past 6 years. Uh-huh. They've had 14 accidents, and 11 of them were rear-enders. So
that's not a euphemism.
Yeah.
Let's not laugh, come on.
No, but the 11 crashes that they've had was actually because of the humans behind this self-driving car.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Isn't it quite insane?
What about the other three then? Does it say what those were?
No, they didn't say, but I'm guessing it's like a technical glitch.
Right,
but out of 6 years, 14 crashes and only three of them
were
technical glitches.
Pretty good.
Apparently, the guy from Google said, not once has the self-driving car been the cause of the collision. Instead, the clear theme is human error and inattention. Well, we'll take all this as a signal that we're starting to compare favorably with human drivers.
I'm quite looking forward to the day when, there are no human drivers on the road.
Yeah, but it has to, I'm thinking it has to be all at once. Because even if you have a self-driving car, imagine the guy behind you who's just going to rear-end you.
Yeah, yeah. And he's like, come on, car, speed up a little bit. You're going to get a lot of that, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I wonder if you can like override the systems so you can actually go over the speed limit.
I don't think you can go over the speed limit.
But there's going to be people who's going to hack it for sure.
Definitely. Did you know? Okay, so in some places like university compounds and everything like that, the speed limit is 4 kilometers an hour.
What?
Yeah.
How are you going to drive? Huh?
And the computer is going to be like,
I totally understand. The car parks in Malaysia, the speed limit's 5, and my car starts at 20. It's hard. I feel the pain.
Yeah. Adeline, what do you have?
Oh, about Instagram.
About Instagram?
Yeah, so this will be the funniest Instagram account in history. So Peter Alden from New York, he works for a 3D interactive software startup. So he spent most of his time third wheeling for his brother and the wife, Marisa, Ben and Marisa, photobombing.
Wait, so they take a bunch of pictures and he just jumped in the back?
Yeah, so Alden said that the whole thing started as a funny joke, but when they tried to take a cute picture with Ben and Marisa, tried to take a cute picture, he would just photobomb it. And everyone thought it was funny.
So his entire Instagram
every
account.
Every picture, yes.
But that sounds like every Friday or Saturday night, right?
So, and because of that, so his Instagram account is called I'm on Third Wheel and has about 59,000 followers now.
Are you kidding
me? And people
me?
Are actually requesting to take pictures with him as well as to be a guest couple. And they also suggested ideas for the next Third Wheel photo.
Wait, is it still considered photobombing if it's done on purpose?
I would say yeah.
Not really.
A planned photo bomb.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
No.
Yeah, no.
It doesn't just make sense.
This is just a picture of three people.
I mean, how can you photo bomb if it's planned, right?
Exactly. It's two people looking in love and one person looking sad.
But the thing is, I wonder who takes those pictures? Because if you really look at those pictures on his Instagram, it's a perfect picture and him hanging right on top, God knows where.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's photoshopped, but...
The fourth wheel takes the pictures.
That's his next account.
Yeah.
Right, folks, we are giving away Domino's pizza vouchers. If you want to get in touch, you have to send us an SMS. It is 016-201-9000. I got double-belled.
Double-dinged?
I like that. Double-dinged.
All right, so to win these vouchers, all you have to do is just answer this question. According to their website, Domino's have added two new types of crust. What are they called? So send your name, IC number to 016-201-9000. Don't forget to tell us why you deserve to win as well.
Okay. Domino's pizza.
Stop it. A couple of tracks coming up, and then me and Andrew will be giving you our news from page two. You are listening to That Time of Night here on BFM 89.9. It is BFM 89.9. It is That Time of Night, and I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Madeline Chung.
I'm David Bury.
Over here we have...
Andrew Netto.
He's a comedian, you know. Right?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. We were doing news from page two from these two earlier on,
yep.
So I have a story as well. I know you do too.
Yep.
So let me share this one first. David, will yes. you behave yourself?
What?
Be careful, otherwise you're going to get a ding. Maybe a double ding.
Ooh.
A double ding.
Is that a threat or an offer?
It's a promise. Okay, so we've spoken up. Stop it. So we know that Lance Armstrong and a whole bunch of others at some point used what they call it dope, right?
Sorry.
Will you stop playing?
Playing with your bells.
They used... Can I get on with my story?
Ding-a-ling.
So they used performance-enhancing drugs
okay.
in their sport, right?
Right.
We know that. The cyclists.
We know.
The runners or whatever. But this is something entirely new. And this is something we've been discussing for a while. We've talked about esports and Counter-Strike. I know you two guys are
We have
well
been
into,
playing.
Right?
Yes.
And Brendan, as I know, was some kind of sniper on Counter-Strike. And everybody's been involved in it, right? But one of the guys from one of the top teams... from Counter-Strike, his former team, this team called Cloud9, has finally said, it's okay, everybody was taking performance-enhancing drugs too.
Huh?
They were taking Adderall. So, if you don't know, folks, Adderall is a drug that kids who have ADHD take to help them concentrate and focus. There's no wonder they call these games Twitch fighters. You know, these guys are off their heads on Adderall. Go on.
What is it that competitive?
Yes, there's money. Have you seen how much money these guys
no,
make?
No, I haven't.
Why do you need thousands of drugs?
Right. Why did he need drugs to win in the Tour de France? Because he knew he was going to win, right?
Yeah, but this is just Counter-Strike.
Just Counter-Strike when you are being paid $300,000 to win?
Oh.
Yeah, still, this would affect you, your body.
Well, it does. It affects them so well that they keep taking it to win.
You get paid so much, but then again, it would affect your body.
So does it actually help you in terms of, you know, it helps your concentration, but does it help you aim or...
It helps you focus, apparently, yes. Right. It keeps you very focused on what you're doing and he's nodding his head over here in agreement, right?
I can tell you, yeah. You're doing
Andrew. Andrew clearly suffering from ADHD there, you know, speaking from experience, is it?
Yes.
Counter-Strike player, perhaps?
Yes.
Here we go.
Yes.
Oh,
CSGO. Once in a while.
CSGO.
Uh-oh.
We just got it during the Steam sale for about, 20-30% off.
Right. I didn't get it from Steam sale. I paid full price.
You were late.
By 1 week.
Yeah, that's a week too late.
Thanks for letting me know in advance.
Hey, he let me know. I bought it.
Okay, very quickly, we are giving away, staying on a healthy theme, we're giving away pizza vouchers. 016-201-9000.
Domino's Pizza.
All right, so we're giving away 5 vouchers, personal pizza vouchers. All you have to do is just answer this question. According to their website, Domino's have added 2 new types of crust. Now, what are they called? Send your name, IC number to 016-201-9000. Don't forget to tell us why you deserve to win as well.
I'm really, really hungry for some pizza right now.
I am too.
Yeah, just like talking about it, you're like, cheese.
Okay, very quickly, we've got to move on. Andrew, tell us your story.
All right, so this is actually quite interesting. Over the weekend, a very good friend of mine, Victor Chan, who's actually a DJ, goes by the name of Victor Trickster. He actually uploaded a photo on the first day of Raya. And he was actually passing by a roadblock in near his housing estate. And,
a roadblock at Raya?
Yes,
that's
at
unusual.
Raya. Yeah, like in the morning. Never heard of that one before. But, you know, he's across the road, right? So he passes by this roadblock. And he looks across the road and he sees this roadblock. He actually makes a U-turn, goes to a shop nearby, buys a hamper, right? Buys a hamper,
uh-huh.
Goes back to the road, goes through the roadblock. People try to avoid roadblocks. This fellow went through the roadblock, right? He goes through the roadblock. He sees four Malay police officers sitting and having food. Uh-huh. And he goes up to them, gives them the hamper and says, guys, it's Raya. Y'all are Muslim, you're Malays. You shouldn't be sitting here and working, but thank you for your service to our country and your duty as a policeman. This is for you. And they were in shock, right? So he took a picture with them. He snapped a photo with them. He uploaded it into Facebook. And I saw the photo after like, I think 5 or 10 minutes, and it had about like 20, 30 likes, and I thought to myself, oh yeah, cool. Today is Monday. The post now has 46,000 likes.
Wow.
It got shared thousands of times. Marina Mahathir picked it up. A lot of press picked it up, Malaysian press picked it up, and they all went that, you know, it was a really cool human interest story, and they said, you know, faith in humanity was restored. But unfortunately, with anything good you do, people will see the bad in it.
So there's always detractors, right? Mm.
People were like, oh, you know, is that a bribe? and he answers the questions very coyly, and he goes like, listen, if I was going to bribe them, do you really think I would have used the biggest possible thing to bribe them with? A hamper. I don't want someone, but here's a hamper. No, so he said it wasn't a bribe, right? So, and you know, there was a lot of negative comments, positive comments, but you know, it's picked up a lot of interest. It's cool. Right.
I would completely, if I was a hamper maker, I would completely use this as promo.
Right.
Yeah.
Love
right.
your cops, give them a hamper.
Yeah.
It works for me. Okay, Andrew, we've come to that time of the night where we have to ask you a bunch of questions, and there's a score attached to this.
Okay.
As you already know, we've had a bunch of your friends in on the show. They've done pretty well. Mm-hmm. Some have done better than others.
Okay.
Current top scorer is Sean Ghazi at 26. Wow. Lowest on the table is Ezra Zayed with 1.
But if you get lower than 14, which is Jason Leong's number, you would be shamed.
Mm. Okay.
We would have to push you out of the studio with a broom.
Okay.
So have a listen to this.
Smarty pants.
3 minutes to answer as many questions as you possibly can. Relax. If you get it wrong, you hear that. If you get it right, you hear this. One bell at a time.
Okay.
Your time starts now. How many colors are there on the Google logo?
5.
Which U.S. city was a setting for the 1987 movie RoboCop?
Chicago?
Ugh. MPAJ is short for which Malaysian municipal council?
Majlis Perbandaran Ampang Jaya.
Which state was Sudirman born in?
Skip.
Benjamin Franklin was a U.S. president, true or false?
True.
Who famously described Canada as like a really nice apartment over a meth lab?
Walter White.
How old was Robin Williams when he passed away last year?
Oh, God. 60 plus? 64? 63?
Which role is Adam West best known for having played?
Skip.
Da-na-na-na.
In which country? Too late. In which country is Catalan spoken?
Spain. Barcelona.
Which Malaysian state flag has a downward angled crescent and a star arrangement?
Johor.
Who was Brad Pitt married to before Angelina Jolie?
Jennifer Aniston.
What year did Christopher Columbus reportedly reach the Americas?
The 17... Not 14 something.
Isaac Newton was American, true or false?
False.
In which year did the Titanic sink?
1912.
In what year was the arcade game Pac-Man released?
1987?
Ooh.
Oh, was it 1980?
It was 1980.
Oh, okay.
In which country would you find the Kia Motors headquarters?
South Korea.
Before it was renamed as Jalan Tunku Abdul Halim, what was it called?
Jalan Duta?
How many bishops are on a chessboard at the beginning of a game?
4.
What colour was used for the letters on Daft Punk's 1999 album Homework?
Red.
On a standard QWERTY keyboard, which letter is immediately to the right of Y?
U.
In which city would you find the Metropolitan Museum of Art?
New York.
In which year did the 7/7 bombings take place in London?
2009.
Which famous historic figure tried to blow up the Houses of Parliament in London in 1605?
Wow, pass.
In which US state would you find the Grand Canyon?
Oh, good, I know this. Arizona?
What kind of animal is the poisonous fugu?
As a frog. Oh.
Which country do pretzels originate from?
Germany.
The heptathlon is made up of how many events?
Six. Seven.
Oh. Eight. Which actor played the president in the 1997 film Air Force One?
Harrison Ford.
In Greek mythology, who is the messenger of God?
Skip.
Who painted the Sunflower series of paintings in the late 1800s?
I don't know, Picasso?
Ooh, Andrew, you are out of time. We'll find out how well you've done after these messages. Please don't go anywhere, folks. We'll be right back. You are listening to BFM 89.9, The Business Station. BFM 89.9, The Business Station. It is that time of night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Madeline Chung.
I'm David Bury.
And it's the final segment of the show. Almost time to wrap up. The man that's coughing out his lungs over there is Andrew Netto. He's our comedian for the evening. Are you all right now?
I'm very good.
Deep breath. This is because we're talking about Counter-Strike, right? And all that kind of stuff. So just before the break, you were taking part in Smarty Pants.
Mm-hmm.
How well do you think you did?
I don't know. I think I got like 10.
You think you got 10?
10 or 12. Yeah.
We'll get to that in a minute then. Let's just quickly wrap up on this competition for the evening.
Yes, so we're giving away Domino's pizza voucher, personal pizza voucher. So all you have to do is just answer this question. According to their website, Domino's have added two new types of crust. Now, what are they called? Send your name, IC number to 016-201-9000. Don't forget to tell us why you deserve to win.
Domino's pizza!
David is getting paid for that, I should mention. let's go through some of the questions, yeah.
All right, so how many colors are there on a Google logo? Four. Which state was Sudirman born? Pahang. Which role is Adam West well known for having played?
Da-na-na.
Batman!
Oh, Lord.
Shame.
I started watching Batman when it was Michael Keaton, bro.
Jeez.
All right, in what year was the arcade game Pac-Man released? 1980. And finally, what kind of animal is the poisonous fugu? That's a fish. Ladies and gentlemen, Andrew Netto scored 16 points.
Oh,
that's like two giant leaps more.
There's some competition.
Then Jason.
Mm. Oh. Poor old Jason. He gets a hard time on this show.
Well, you know, he didn't do very well. I mean, 14. For a doctor, you would expect him to get a bit more, right?
Jason, I'm on your side. I'm on your side.
I'm on his side too. He's a doctor, not an encyclopedia. No, poor guy.
It's a good point. Right. As usual on the show, before we wrap up, we've got 3 and a bit minutes. So we have a bunch of facts that we're going to share with you for the evening. We forgot to ask you to bring your fact. But that's okay.
But do you have a fact with you?
He's just going to come and hard sell my show.
We're going to do that too. Very quickly, Adeline, what do you have?
I'm giving you a Raya fact today.
Oh, go on then.
So rendang was voted as the world's most delicious food in a CNN international poll last year, beating chicken rice, chocolate, sushi, and ice cream.
What?
Yeah. I agree entirely.
I want some rendang.
Azizel was telling me earlier on that he'd heard somewhere that apparently you can keep rendang for up to 3 years and it still be edible.
Yeah.
Three years?
In
3 months.
Freezer?
3 months.
In the freezer.
I don't know. 3 months. 3 months.
Yeah, you can. Didn't you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, but not
that's a fact. I'm learning something
white
today.
Boy.
Not in the fridge, though. You have to keep it in the freezer.
Freezer.
Yeah.
What's your fact for today?
All right, so Henry Cavill, the guy who plays Superman now.
Batman.
Yeah. Almost missed the casting call for the role of Superman because he was playing World of Warcraft.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, Adeline. Has that altered him for you?
No, nothing.
No?
He's a gamer.
No, I'm fine with gamers. Uh-huh. So long you know what are your priorities.
Oh. Well, he knows his priorities because at the end he did get the part.
He did?
Yeah.
He became the Man of Steel.
Yeah. So harsh on you. You make it sound like you're sitting in Subang and playing Dota. So harsh. Poor guy.
Okay, my fact for today is as part of David Hasselhoff's divorce settlement, he kept possession of the nickname Hoff and the catchphrase, "Don't hassle the Hoff."
I mean, if I was his wife, I would have taken that. I want that trademark.
I mean, Don't hassle the Hoff, I think, is absolute pure genius.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, so we got 1.5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Hard sell me your show.
Okay, so what's happening at the end of the month, actually, the 29th of July, is the LOL Fest. It's the first such festival in Malaysia for this time. It's a laughter festival and compromising of stand-up comedy, improv shows, as well as non-verbal Japanese and English comedy.
What?
Ooh. Wrap your head around that. Non-verbal Japanese or English comedy.
I think I've seen like these two Japanese guys.
Yeah, it's
right.
Similar. It's similar to that.
Okay,
but
okay.
Yeah, so we've got that. We've got Japanese comedy. We've got a comedy magician, Jared Fell, who's here for the second time together with Justin Rivera. I'm also performing at the show. I'm actually doing two shows. One with, I'll be hosting one show together with Kevin J, Punchi Ho, Punchi Ho, Muhammad Fazri from Singapore, as well as Douglas Lim. Mm. And that show is actually called Ane Tapau One Te Tarik, Please. It was written by our marketing team, and it was because it had all of the languages together.
Right.
It's actually a bilingual show, and that's actually kicking off our fest together with the improv show, which is done by AIIA, which is Shemaine Othman and gang, together with the late comers from Singapore. And then you've got the other show, which is the Angry Indians Rock the Mic, which is myself, Kiran Baladevan, together with Prakash Daniel and also Kavin J.
Of course, Kiran will be in.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Angry people.
Yeah, he's the angry part of the whole show. Yeah, so it's a lot of shows going on. Check it out, www.lolfest.my. Get your tickets. Please support the fest.
Andrew, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you so
Congratulations
much.
Congratulations on your 16 points.
You bit Dr. Jason.
You can go and rub that in.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll be back same place, same time tomorrow. We have Melissa Thung in the studio tomorrow.
Melissa Thung.
Thung, ding, dong. Do it.
Don't diss her name.
Okay.
She might be listening.
Don't go anywhere. Of course she's listening. We love you. You have been listening to That Time of Night here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.